That's pretty exciting, right, Omega?
Indeed.
Yeah, right.
HIAC talk radio is always exciting.
Get in there.
Oh, I got it, Stevie Pick!
You will deal with Ed Atlas harshly.
Fight forever, Guardian!
I think he broke it.
Look what you made me do!
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Playing, it went off great. What is it, there are 25 people there.
Yeah.
I can't complain. They all reacted when they were supposed to react to everybody.
Yeah.
I had that person walk up to me and the other Dan at the end of the show to verify what I was saying about the IDW comics that expand upon Answer the Call. She doubled it. She seconded it.
There you go.
Got him excited. And that's why I sent him the Mike Hat pictures in the group chat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, Mike Hat's in it, man. Are you kidding? No. Here's my cat. You have a dog named Mike.
My cat.
You have a dog named my cat. No. Mike Hat.
Mike Hat.
But I do remember at the end when we were doing the what do you want to see after Frozen Empire, the question was, or the answer I said, and I did not plan it this way, because I paused after I said, I don't want to see another movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a breath, and I saw everybody who was on my side the entire time went, I was like, no, I want a TV show. TV show.
Yeah.
I think it, and I believe that. That's something that Kelly and I have been talking about it since Afterlife. I'm like,
yeah,
do another movie. I mean, do another movie if you got to. I mean, I'll go see it. I'm not complaining. But TV show, man. TV.
Do you want to see another animated show?
I will take the show in any format, really.
Okay.
As far as I know, to answer you more directly, yeah. And as far as I know, it's been in production for 2 years.
Okay.
Stand by.
Standing by.
Yeah, here. It's in full development. This was 2 months ago.
Okay.
Gil Keenan and Jason Reitman are involved.
Very good.
And I meant to send this to Matt
because
it's got the writer that's doing it. Like, one of the writers they hired is like, oh, really? Okay. God damn it. And I can never find it. God damn it. I'll look for it later. But yeah, no, we should start seeing announcements pretty soon.
Good.
About this. And yes, on digital, I noticed this little thing. Outside of the library, there's a advertisement for the cello concert, and it's for Dana Barrett.
Oh, wow. I missed that. That's awesome.
I watched it 2 days ago. Kelly watched it for the first time, and I was like, oh, shit, did you see this poster? It's an advertisement for Dana Barrett in concert. That's crazy. But, yes.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Not making any money and nobody cares. Oh, oops.
I meant to ask you.
It's fine. Who cares?
I meant to ask you, did Melissa enjoy herself?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
She bought a pair of... Uh-oh. She bought a pair of, Jesus Christ, earrings.
Okay.
And she kept going over, because I didn't know Loungefly was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
But there was like 5 or 6 separate Loungefly kiosks on the floor. So every time I thought we were clear, we'd walk upon another one. Son of a bitch. Look again. God damn, those don't sell for any less than like 80, 90 bucks. I'm like, well, I don't really want any of those. Thank you very much. I'm good. Well, since we lost our main,
word
topic, sorry,
line,
line, excuse me, line, or to steal a line from, no pun intended, from, the actress that played, Olivia Soprano, Tony's, mom. What's the fucking line? what are we talking about?
I
got ready to go, and then I just the exhaustion hit me, and I'm like out of fuel. I wouldn't even care if you were like, you know what? We don't have to do a show tonight. Like, all right, sweet. Good night. Do you have any history stuff?
Oh yeah.
Oh. All right. Let me look real quick at wrestling news. Triple H's mouth has gotten him into trouble? Probably not.
No.
I doubt that. Let's see what this says.
Was that about his... I guess he badmouthed one of the sources.
Two of them,
but that were actually... You know, they're pretty reliable sources. So I mean,
the one is a reliable source. The other is debatable.
Okay. But the fact, I guess, that he painted them with the same brush that, you know, that.
Yeah. Fightful Sean Ross Sapp is one of the more reliable, if not the most reliable one out there. Yeah. Now, unfortunately for Sean, and this is not his fault, that is a pile of shit with one clear chocolate nugget on top. That would be, you know?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately for Sean, he gets lumped in with a bunch of those rest of those assholes. And Sean doesn't care. Bill Batty is somebody who likes to fancy himself a wrestling journalist.
Okay.
Likes to fancy himself a wrestling journalist, and the problem is he's a garbage human. And you would think that would fall right in line with the IWC and be like, oh yeah, he's one of us. Nobody can stand that that guy. And where, you know how people on Twitter talk a lot and there's no action.
Yeah.
Well, Sean went face to face with him once.
Wow.
And Bill backed down.
Really?
Bill's a bitch. Sean can actually wrestle. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Sean Rossap isn't some guy that sits there, you know.
He's not an armchair quarterback. He's not a...
You know, I was going to use a name, but he hasn't done anything to me, and he is not... Yeah, he's not an armchair quarterback. He's wrestled as recently as a month ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he only wrestles for if there's charity involved. Because he uses the fact that he's a wrestling journalist and people hate him to get beat up by one of the wrestlers. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So he got right in his face. Billy Batty is an overrated, I guess he's English, and you know my history of those fucks.
Mm-hmm.
I have an update about that. He's racist.
Mm-hmm.
The classic racist, homophobic, real swell guy. Likes to pick on women. And went so far as to stalk one of these women. And unfortunately for him, one of these women works with and is friends with Sean. And what makes this video even better is Danhausen is behind them. Watching, just be like, stay out of this way. Stay out of the way. I'm gonna pit backwards. But Billy walks up to start some shit, and Sean gets this close to him. What are you gonna do? Do something or fuck off. You're not gonna do shit. He isn't gonna do shit. He never will do shit. Mm-hmm. And he backed off. And the funny thing is he will deny it, but it's on camera. So anytime somebody brings him up or as he inserts himself into the conversation, people just respond with a copy of that video.
Okay.
Because you're not going to pull up, Bill.
Yeah.
If you happen to hit me in the knees and I fall on you, you're dead because I don't know what to tell you. But yes, Triple H said that. And the thing is it didn't trigger me or upset me because he's right. Mm-hmm. Paul's right. I don't know if you noticed this, and you do well, Craig, to stay out of the Twitter drama. And right on, but it's a cesspool.
Oh yeah,
and right. The amount there's a staggering. It's 2024. There's a staggering amount of just false reports, like blatantly false, and I don't understand why and how that stands because it just gets called down anyway.
Yeah.
So these guys are legit. Hello, Amber. Have to, go toe to toe with the liars.
Mm-hmm.
And nine and a half times out of 10, I would say he had a better ratio of things that actually happened better than Dave did in his heyday, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And a lot of the hate Sean Ross Sapp gets is just it. I hate to be cliche, but it's just haters.
Yeah,
it just is. There's nothing else to it. Sean hasn't hurt a goddamn person in his life, and the only way he's hurt anybody in the IWC is he's better than them. And I'm not paid for this.
Yeah,
I would like to. So,
of course.
Damian Priest cut a scathing and amazing promo. I want to bring up two promos. I want to bring up the promo that just happened on Raw,
mm-hmm.
where he basically told Drew McIntyre to his face that CM Punk was more important than his own wife. All you had to do was take your belt, take your wife, and leave. But no, you had to stop. You had to stop with CM Punk because CM Punk was more important to you than your wife. Damn. Okay, bud. Where we were talking about the Judgment Day when Edge was kicked out,
mm-hmm.
compared to where the Judgment Day is now, even with the injuries that have plagued that team, I still cannot believe we're talking about world champion Damian Priest. It's still like for 2 years when AJ Styles joined the WWE, it was like, AJ Styles is the WWE. Now it's like, yeah, of course he is. towards the end of his run, I was like, of course Damian Priest is champion. But right now I'm still going, I can't believe this is happening. This is great.
It is indeed. Right now he's in kind of a limbo because obviously the fans will cheer him against a Drew McIntyre. But Drew McIntyre isn't exactly a heel either. He just hates CM Punk, who everyone loves. I wouldn't say that Damian Priest is a face either, but he's going against Drew McIntyre, who people don't like because he attacks CM Punk. You know, do we take him out of the Judgment Day since he is the world champion and the Judgment Day can do their own thing? You know, with Carlito possibly joining and Finn and the other guy, Bobblehead Joe. And it's
good.
You know, you were just saying how you can't believe that Damian Priest is champion. I just even just saying that I can't believe how invisible Finn Balor has become. When he was he was the Will Ospreay of the WWE at one point. Like, the golden child could do no wrong, the first ever Universal Champion. And that seems like decades ago, like what I'm going to talk about in The Historian. But I digress. With Damian Priest, you know, part of me, you know, wants to break him off from the Judgment Day and cheer him. But the other business side or sensible side, we're running short on heels. He should stay at least a heel champion because he have more contenders that way. But they're both in a weird place, he and Drew, because the fans still like them. And they don't want to, they only boo them when they go up against someone they do like.
I do think that they can just kind of play it as a, it depends on who it is.
Uh-huh.
I think it'll work for him because you could kind of do the thing. I don't know if this is what they're going to do, but you kind of do the thing where they're like, it's not that he leaves the Judgment Day, but it's kind of on the back burner because the main people are kind of injured. Uh-huh. And when they come back, you run the program as you should.
Yeah.
I still don't know what Rhea Ripley's return timeline is.
I didn't even know that Dom was hurt until we saw him last week. So I don't know what his timeline is either, because that's the biggest heel in your group right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's who...
And good. Sorry.
I was gonna say had there not been an injury or a bracket, that's who I would put King of the Ring on. Or at least a Money in the Bank on. Because Dom at this point he's earned a push.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when he first started, we were on opposite sides, like, you know, Dominic, and this is not a shot at you like you were wrong, Craig. History dictates that you probably weren't. This one time, the Nepo baby did just fine, and he didn't latch on to his dad other than in story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's only Dominic Mysterio's, he's only Rey Mysterio's son because he's literally Rey Mysterio's son.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's coming out in a mask. Mm-mm. He's not doing David Flair.
No.
Which was just a terribly bad, skinnier knockoff of Ric Flair. All due respect to David, that's what they gave him.
Yeah,
and that's not his fault.
Yeah, and David Flair is, I mean, Dominic Mysterio is light years ahead of David Flair in terms of ability and terms.
That's the other thing. Yeah,
yeah.
We were that match he had, and oh God, wasn't it a tag team match with his dad? And it was one of the overseas shows.
Yeah.
And I remember coming on that week with you going, Dominic looked like he's putting in work.
Yeah.
Not just, I'm going to be one and done. I think this is going to be the beginning of just another cog in the wheel. He is just, and I mean that in the positive way, not the, we'll just replace him now that he's hurt. He's just another talent that the WWE can utilize, and he's good at it. And as you said, he's the top heel in the company in 2024.
And somebody pointed out his one loss record. He can lose and not lose any credibility or not lose any standing. It's not like, you know, beating Dom is not going to diminish Dom at all. You know, because he's the epitome of the chicken shit heel. So when he gets his comeuppance, when he gets beat by an LA Knight or, you know, a Randy Orton, that's not going to diminish him at all. The boos are just going to get even louder. It's like, hey, you lost, but you know it doesn't. Yeah, I mean that when you have something like that, and especially with Dom who paid his dues, and you forget the years that he was. A face all that time when he and his dad were the tag team champions and he was coming out carrying his dad on his shoulders. He was learning. He was getting better. And of course he's obviously light years ahead of David Flair and other second generation guys that weren't nearly as good as his father. And that's not their fault. You know, David Flair, you know, I was going to say, Ted DiBiase Jr., even though he wasn't that bad, but, you know, he's not his dad. Dominic Mysterio learned at the feet of the greatest luchador of all time. Some would argue that David Flair, his father, was the greatest of all time, but Ric Flair, as anyone can tell you, he's, and this is the only positive thing, the only analogy I make about Ric Flair that rings true, he's the Michael Jordan of wrestling in that he's great, but he can't teach anyone to be great. Michael Jordan, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, a lousy coach. Because it's like saying, okay, when you get down in the post, just do a turnaround jump shot, make it. Yeah, for you, yeah. You'll make it. Yeah. It's like Flair.
Yeah, you going, can okay, do it, Mike.
Yeah. Well, it's like Flair going, okay, when he throws you in the turnbuckle, just do the, you know, the Ray Stevens flip around, you know, over the top and then beg off. You know, or just sell when you get a knee drop on your head, you know, sell like this. Yeah, you can do that. If I do it, it's going to, you know, it's – and that's why Flair is not a good teacher, because he can't – you can't – he can't – what he looks for in a student or what he expects, you just do it like this. And, you know, he expects everyone – my point, I'm trolling. He's trying. He expects everyone to do it just like he did. He's like, "Well, I did it, so you can do it." No, you can do it because you're Michael Jordan. You can do it because you're Ric Flair. Even if I'm your son, I can't do it. What Dominic has is three generations of lucha training, and again, he's learned at the feet of the greatest luchador of all time. So the whole time he was a face, taught him to be a great heel, and the fact that he's got the mustache and the mullet of Eddie is not a accident.
Nope.
At all.
Another awesome promo that happened this week that almost got by me, and I saw it. Did you see the Bobby Lashley promo?
Yes. I saw it on social media. I didn't see it live.
I'm going to play it real quick. It's 2 minutes. I'm going to play it for those who haven't seen it, and then we'll talk about it, because I was watching this all the years that you and I have been watching Bobby Lashley, and I went, excuse me, sir? So let me put this on now.
Damn, you know what? I never saw that. I didn't see him say that. Because I was going to say something really nice about this kid, but now I just want to go beat his ass. These guys in the ring, and that's what we've lost here. We have all these guys that come up to the main roster, and all they want to do is start talking trash. Bro, I've been doing stuff before you even got here. I could just take my camera, just float around this doggone office alone and show him some of the things that he has never even came close to. So for the fact that he came and disrespect me now, that kind of pisses me off, because I really was going to come up here, because even in that little scene that you guys were talking about, I kind of chuckled. I was like, you know, I like this guy. I like his little attitude, because that's the attitude that you need to be a champion around here. But don't disrespect the people that have already done the things that you want to be able to get to. Don't do that. I didn't do that when I first came up. I had Booker, I had JBL, I had Batista, I had Cena, I had Taker, I had every one of those guys. And yes, I wanted to fight those guys, but by no means did I disrespect any one of those guys. And ever since I came up here, these guys are coming up, they disrespect me day one. And then they go on Twitter and start typing stuff and writing stuff, man. You know what? These guys need to start getting checked, and they need to start understanding that this business is a business about respect. And respect is when you come up here, you respect the people that you want to compete against. Whether you win or lose, you respect them. And if you beat them, kudos to you. Keep going. But there needs to be a level of respect, and we've lost that in this business. And if I need to be the one to start checking these guys and showing these guys what respect is about, then sign me up, because I'll do it all. You can line every one of them up. First person they should get in front of, put them in front of me. And let me start stomping them out.
Mm-hmm.
Showing them some respect. Mm-hmm. I never said anything bad about him. I never said anything bad about him. I never said anything bad about any of the other guys that I've been in matches with. But if you circle back, you start looking at what they tweeted. Oh, he's a gatekeeper. And this all, man, enough of that, man. Being disrespectful doesn't make you better.
So my only question is, Craig, where the fuck has that
been? Where has that guy been?
Since I guess, 2000, whatever the fuck.
I guess all Bobby Lashley's promo should be in his den in his office. Should take place in his...
Or, that seems or... to be... I didn't mean to play that again. Sorry.
Or because that seems to be the only place where he's comfortable. You know, that was a relaxed there, Bobby
like
Lashley.
Two crew members, and he could probably relax. Or my theory, and I know this is going to shock you, Craig. My theory was maybe the Vince McMahon training wheels finally came off because he's not there to put them on anymore. And look what a difference makes. You know, Paul coached you one or two times, Triple H. It feels weird calling him Triple H when he's boss guy. You know what I mean? I don't mean that disrespectfully. Yeah. I'm like, and Paul and Triple H are not the same. But maybe there was a little bit, you don't need this shit. Just hit these 3 points, go.
Yeah.
Natural, sounded natural, for better or for worse. I think for better. You know, not every wrestling promo needs to have every single syllable perfect. No human speaks perfectly, not even The Rock. And his gimmick was he was flawless in his promos. I remember saying that all through school. He's flawless. Mm-hmm. Of course he would stutter every now and then. Mm-hmm. But that's what made that promo great was that was a big, big man who's really angry now. And that's a man you don't want angry at. I just thought it was okay. Now, I want to see what comes next. Put that man back in hurt business just because.
Yeah, well, if you want to re... I always said that hurt business was... That could have been the bloodline of Raw, but that got fumbled.
Could have been the new Four Horsemen, quite frankly.
Most definitely. And nothing against the Street Profits. I just thought that it worked better with Shelton and Cedric. Because they were a heel faction. I don't see the Street Profits doing that or being that, especially not as long as Montez is married to Bianca. But with Bobby Lashley, we're running into a good problem to have. Here's another guy that with that promo, you can a major push. And if that's going to be against Carmelo Hayes, great. But Carmelo is the one that needs the push more so than Bobby. As great as that promo was, if that turns into a program with Carmelo, that's great. But Carmelo's got to come out on top. And I hate saying that because Bobby is someone that, the problem with WWE, they have so many stars. So many stars that could main event. And like we're talking about Bobby, a three-time former world champion, and he's not even in your top 10 of stars in the company right now, and on either side. And that's, you know, it's a good problem to have, but it's also a bad problem because he needs a spotlight, Bobby does, but where are you going to put him?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Craig,
they do need to capitalize on that though, because
yes,
that is,
absolutely.
That like I said, I didn't see it live because nobody watches the WWE online shows, but it's gone viral, so they need to do something with that and put him on either if he's not on Raw tonight, then put him on SmackDown. I don't even know what show he's on. Put him on SmackDown this week.
I was trying to see how many numbers that video got. We're at 111,000.
Okay.
But that's the whole episode. I don't know where the Bobby Lashley version is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still, let's go. Come on, guys. Let's go back into the history. Why don't we?
Why don't we go back?
Why
to
do we?
back to when you could have too many stars, and it was a good problem to have because you can feature them on more than one show, which I will get to later on in this segment. But this segment, by the way, is about the times past when professional wrestling was called professional wrestling. There was just a term as sports entertainment where wrestling was something in all 50 states that would sell out not just arenas on TV every week, but arenas, coliseums, high school gymnasiums, and stadiums every day of the week and in all 50 states. This, gentlemen and ladies, is the wrestling historian. Coinciding with the movie Iron Claw premiering on Max, this week in professional wrestling marks the 40th anniversary of the first annual David Von Erich Parade of Champions, May 6, 1984, in front of a then record in North American history, the largest crowd to ever see a professional wrestling event, 43,511 at Texas Stadium, to see Kerry Von Erich defeat Ric Flair to become the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. 40 years ago, May 6th, an incredibly emotional day, incredibly hot day in Texas Stadium, the culmination of the dream of the Von Erichs to one day hold the World Heavyweight Championship. The main event at Texas Stadium, all the Von Erichs were there. Contrary to what you saw in the movie, if you did see the movie Iron Claw, Kerry's mother was there. She didn't watch it on TV. The entire family was there. And in fact, she was the one that hugged Kerry after he won the NWA Championship. You know, people still talk about it. And you look at the crowd back there, 43,000 in Texas Stadium. This outdrew the Cowboys back in 1984. The crowd when Kerry won, and that's what makes it so, you know, unique. And I always say when I do Wrestling Historian, ladies and gentlemen, when I give you your homework to look at old matches, I say, don't look at the wrestlers, look at the crowd. And when this came about, the backslide heard around the world, the crowd will tell the story. Leaping to their feet, jumping up and down, continuously jumping up and down. The same floor. Kerry had done it, wearing the trunks, the same trunks that his late brother David had worn when he faced Ric Flair. And there he is holding up the 10 pounds of gold.
Oh. You didn't need the sound on that one. You could have seen while we were watching it. That's as just proven what Craig said. You just had to look.
You see Kevin in the ring, Chris Adams, Chick Donovan for some reason. But everyone raising their hand and look at the kids on the other shoulders. Iceman right there to hug Kerry. Rick selling it. How he can't believe I got beaten by a goddamn backslide. Really? There's Mike. There's Chris Adams.
I love how much fun Shawn Michaels has with that. He won it on a backslide.
And I told the story as to why they won on the backslide, right?
No. I mean, yes, you have, but I don't remember. Just tell us again, please. Just try to say, Jesus.
Kerry Von Erich, always known as the nicest Von Erich. You know, everyone, you know, that had anything to do with the Von Erichs would talk about David was the best worker, Kevin was the stiffest, but Kerry was the nicest. But Kerry was, and Ric Flair said it, and Jerry Lawler, two very distinct, different personalities. Both Jerry Lawler and Ric Flair said the same thing about Kerry Von Erich. great guy, but he was always impaired. Anytime they had any dealings, he was always impaired. And with Rick and Kerry, and Rick wrestled Kerry more than Jerry Lawler ever did, but they had wrestled each other hundreds of times, going back to 1982. And they would go over, and Ric Flair was a guy that didn't like to go over the finish. He liked to call in the ring if there was a finish that was agreed upon, but he didn't want to talk. He's not one of those guys that went over. So Kerry would go, "What's the finish we're doing for this match?" And Rick would tell him, "Double disqualification." All right, got it. What are we doing? Double disqualification. Okay, I got it. Okay, I got it. 20 minutes later. Okay, well, do we go over the finish? What? Double disqualification. Got it. Okay. Their match is next. Flair's got his robe on. He's ready to go in. Knock on the door. Rick, what? It's Kerry. What do you want? Let's know what the finish is. Oh, my God. So, knowing this was Texas Stadium, knowing that there was going to be a switch that the NWA agreed upon, he said to Kerry, "We're ending with a backslide because, in Ric Flair's words, that's even something you can't mess up. So that's what we're doing." Because Kerry, in matches that they had, Kerry would put the claw on early like that. And that would be, it wouldn't be the finish, but that would be if they were going an hour or if they were going 30 minutes at a house show, Kerry would put the claw on out of nowhere, like 5 minutes into the match. And of course, the crowd would go apeshit, but that's not where it was supposed to go. And other things, I think, there was a time where, Kerry was supposed to be working on Flair's arm, and you know how you pin your arm down and you kick your legs out like a handstand, and then you come down with all your knees on the arm. Mm-hmm. Kerry was so impaired that he did the handstand and it went flying over, and Flair had to sell it like Kerry meant to do that. Like he meant to do a handstand and land on his back. And that gave double torque on the arm. No. So he called a backslide because the match was too important to mess up or for Kerry to forget anything. So we're doing the backslide at the spot they'd done 100 times. But this time Flair said, "I'm not going to kick out." Because you can see in that exchange, Flair going for the hip toss. Kerry blocked it and it turned into a backslide.
You know, there's medicine for that. No pun intended.
Yeah. But yeah, 40 years ago, May 6th, Kerry Von Erich in what was then the largest crowd to see a professional wrestling match in North America defeated Ric Flair for the NWA title. A week later, and this is the first time that this had happened in more than 60 years, 1 week later, today, as a matter of fact, 40 years ago today, May 13th, 1984, in St. Paul, Minnesota, Jumbo Tsuruta would lose the AWA Heavyweight Championship to Rick Martel. It was the first time that both the NWA and the AWA World Heavyweight Championships changed hands in a week. This was 1984 was an incredible year of professional wrestling, maybe the best year, because not only did the NWA title change hands, but a week later, the AWA title changed hands. And on that same day, to give you an idea of how hot professional wrestling was, not only did the AWA title change hands in St. Paul, Minnesota, but Jim Crockett in the NWA ran 3 different shows that day in Roanoke, in Toronto, and in Richmond. And the NWA champion wasn't on any of those shows. And still do huge crowds. Here was Jumbo Tsuruta in only his 3rd AWA title defense in the United States. He was a heel. Now, when Jumbo won the AWA championship from Nick Bockwinkel, he was hailed as a hero. Streamers everywhere. But when he wrestled in the AWA, He even had an interpreter. He was a heel. They were even cheering Nick Bockwinkel to regain the title. When he was managed by Bobby Heenan, he was still, Jumbo Tsuruta was still considered a heel. And Rick Martel, in this match, May 13th, 1984, St. Paul, Minnesota, the same place where they couldn't give the belt to Hogan, Rick Martel would end up winning it.
Man.
What made it so, and the thing that gets lost in the in this monumental win by Rick Martel becoming AWA World Champion, he would hold that belt for 19 months. He held the AWA Championship longer than any wrestler in the 80s.
Oh, Vern didn't step in that time, huh?
No, he did not, because he finally had his white meat babyface champion. He finally had a guy that he had tutored, that he had trained, homegrown, in Rick Martel. A guy that, in Vern's eyes, knew wrestling the right way. Again, look at the crowd when he won. Kids
going
smiling.
Nuts.
Going nuts. But yeah.
You like our new interactive feature?
I love it. And technology, man. Wave of the future. It was great. It is great.
Just quote speed.
Yeah. Interactive TV. Wave of the future, Jack.
Wave of the future, Jack. Uh-huh. I don't believe you just quoted that. And that I knew exactly what the hell you were doing.
That's why I did it, my man. That's why I did it, my brother.
I love you.
I love you more. Speaking of monumental decision, we talked about the NWA Championship changing hands and the AWA title changing hands within a week. But a monumental decision took place this week in professional wrestling history that really is worth noting. Now we're going to go back. Way back, May 11th, 1953 was, I still think, a date that doesn't get as much press as it should, or doesn't get as much attention as it should, but it really altered professional wrestling as we know it as a whole, particularly in this part of the country. On May 11th, 1953, the New York State Athletic Commission lifted its ban on tag team wrestling. Up until 1953, there was no tag team wrestling allowed in the state of New York. That meant in every Madison Square Garden match that sold out, there were no tag team matches. The Athletic Commission, still under the impression that wrestling was real, didn't want that many people in the ring because they were already fearful of riots. But in 1953, because of the growing popularity of tag team wrestling across the country, on May 11th, 1953, they lifted the ban on tag team wrestling.
Incredible. 1 year older than my father.
Yeah.
And I'm asking for a reason before we continue. Is this the last thing in the segment this week?
Yes, but right on.
I'm gonna tag on to it after you're finished. Go.
Okay, right after this addendum, May 11th, 1953, they lifted the ban on tag team wrestling. 10 years later, in 1963, in Madison Square Garden in New York State, the match between Antonio Rocca, Miguel Perez versus Dick the Bruiser and Dr. Jerry Graham caused the worst riot in New York State wrestling history, to the point where not only was wrestling banned in New York for another year, but Dick the Bruiser was banned from wrestling in New York State for life. From that tag team match.
At least they went 10 years before they fucked that up.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Wow. And I was funny because I was also reading See, this new interactive feature, the Wrestling Historian, is brilliant now that I've figured that out. slow learner, folks. There was a riot in MSG in 57. Had nothing to do with tag team wrestling. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but and Tony Rocca was the again.
Look at that. He rides the shoulder of fans after the police break up the riot.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Because of the fan base. And Antonio Rock, Antonino Rocca, Bruno, Pedro Morales, the ethnic champions ruled the roost in New York State in Madison Square Garden. So, and Rocca and Perez were the most popular tag team on Earth at the time, and especially in New York City, because you have the Italian fans for Rocca, you have the Hispanic fans for Miguel Perez, and then you have these two monster heels, Dick the Bruiser and Dr. Jerry Graham. You know, not only did they weren't even winning the match, they were just beating the crap out of the baby faces, and fans went after them, and then the wrestlers went after the fans. And then chairs came. And then the police came. And then the police got hit with the same chairs that they were throwing at the wrestlers. And worst riot, I guess, again, in Madison Square Garden history. Dr. Jerry Graham and the Graham brothers were no longer competing there. And Dick the Bruiser was banned from wrestling in New York for life.
Did he ever go back? Did they ever lift that ban?
No.
No. Oh.
No.
Cut your segment. Go ahead.
And that, gentlemen and ladies, is a Wrestling Historian.
Which brings us to 2024. And I'm glad you brought up the Athletic Commission, because in 2024, the State Athletic Commission still runs wrestling in some states in 2024. And in one in particular, in Oklahoma, the State Athletic Commission had a meeting and has told AEW and Nyla Rose that she is not to wrestle ever again in Oklahoma because she is transgender.
Wow.
That is a real thing that happened. These are from the minutes of the meeting right here on screen. For those who are listening to this, just type in Nyla Rose warned against wrestling in Oklahoma right there. Yeah. And AEW said, well, you go fuck yourself. So all the things we've said, a W for AEW.
Yeah.
Tony's standing by his girl.
Good.
And I'm saying pronouns on purpose because I know it's triggering some of you listening to this. It's a man. Bigger tits than your wife. And better ones. So, yeah, that's something that's happening. So when you mentioned that, I was like, oh, the State Athletic Commission, D.C. I will call the State Athletic Commission out. Killed wrestling in the D.C. area again.
Yeah.
There's no two sides to the story. There is one story. The D.C., the District of Columbia Athletic Commission killed wrestling, not Gator dropping out at prime time, not the gays and the queers running Butch versus Gore, which was selling hundreds and hundreds of tickets, barely fitting in the building. It was the Athletic Commission. An Athletic Commission that tried to shut down a show in Philadelphia. Because one of their guys decided to get hit with a chair before the show. Wait, they're really using chairs? Oh, we have to stop this. We ignored those. Guys, and this goes to everybody, I'm sure you think you're important. When it comes to wrestling, you're a non-factor. Go away.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but this is choreographed. This is predetermined. This is not
an athletic
live in that way. Yes, it is literally an athletic exhibition.
Yeah.
go fuck yourselves, especially the Oklahoma Athletic Commission. And quite frankly, I know there's going to be people out there that are going to say, well, don't make the fans suffer. So, move. Leave Oklahoma. I know Jim Ross's by God is intensifying, but I really hope all the promotions, big and small, just go, you know what? Fuck it. We're not running Oklahoma. See how that goes. But you know how wrestling goes. There's no convictions. Hopefully there will be. Nyla Rose is money, folks, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and you can add Nyla Rose to that list of people that, had they been booked correctly, would be making AEW a lot of money right now. I mean, she was one of the first homegrown stars that they dropped the ball on, but it could have easily turned into that skid and made her an your monster heel champion, and rode that, if you want to call it the transgender angle. But again, it's money, because it preys on dipshits like the Athletic Commission that are going to make a big stink out of it and get more eyes on your product. But kudos to AEW for doing something. They don't have a lot of W's, especially not this year. But that was one of them that's well earned. So kudos to them for for their wrestler.
Absolutely. Go fuck yourself, Oklahoma. And with that being said, Craig, where can people follow you, sir?
They can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, I'm sorry, X, and Facebook, and Threads on at Craig Ligons, CraigLigons.
Follow me at all social media platforms, one that I'll still call Twitter until Elon fucks off, at DanLaw83, HIC Talk Radio. Go to your podcast app, search HIC Talk Radio Network. With the addition of the Shadow Moses toy podcast. All about toy collecting and 3D printing. Adding that this week. So, nice. HICTalkRadio.com, my friends. Keep it on the paper for Craig Ligons. I am the above average comedian, Dan Colchico. We will see you next time. See you in the fabric of the universe.